Always a lot going on in New Hope. Hallelujah. Plenty of area to get involved. Well, today's the last day of our series on Jesus Came To. And today the title is Jesus Came To Give. And again, I'm not going to talk about money. I'm going to talk about what Jesus came to give. Amen. So if you stand with me today, we up there yet? You don't have it? Not yet? You ain't got it? Not there? Oh. All right. Well, you stand. I'll read. I know it. It's John chapter 12, verse 27 is the first scripture. And it reads, "Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour." And 1 John 4:10, "And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, I pray that we could receive all that Jesus has come for. And Lord, that we'd receive that propitiation for our sins. Lord, that we'd leave here, Lord, whole, Lord, and full of the joy of the Lord. I pray that from being in your presence, Father God, from what you've already done, the miracles you've already performed, that, Lord, that as we hear your word would come a lot so alive inside of each one of us, Father, that we leave this place, we leave, Father God, lifted up from being in your presence. And we give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You see that guy, I don't know if you ever watched Super Bowls, but that guy was on the Super Bowl for years, man. John 3:16. One of the most famous scriptures in all the world is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave." Everybody say gave. "His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if you go to John 17, verse 3, it says, "This is eternal life, that you know God the Father in Jesus the Son." So we know that through the Word, the relationship that we have with Jesus is eternal life. Amen. It's not that you're going to live forever, because every spirit and soul will go on forever. Amen. Your body, this body is decaying. This body one day will die, but my spirit and soul shall never die. I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, but you can be alive in the devil too right now, or dead in the devil, because you're either going to go to up or you're going to go down. There's one, you decide where you're going to spend eternity. But Jesus came and gave his life so that the everlasting life he's talking about, again, is not so you can live forever. It's so you could have relationship with God. Jesus is that bridge back to God. Where Adam broke it down, Jesus repaired it. So that now we have access, we can come in, we can approach the throne of grace, amen, boldly come before the throne, we can come before God boldly, you know, to his throne. We have that access now, all because of what Jesus did, what Jesus gave. He gave his life for us, amen. And when he spoke in this passage in John, God the Father spoke back to him. When he spoke, he said, "For this cause I came into this hour." I'm going to look at my Bible here, John 12, because I want to read to you after what he said, what happened afterwards. Because God the Father was present there at this time when he's speaking. In 27, he says, "My soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And he says, "For this purpose I came to this hour." And then he says, Jesus says, "Father," verse 28, "glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, from the Father, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." God the Father spoke. When Jesus was baptized, God spoke. But when he spoke this time, kind of freaked the people out. They felt like there was just thunder happening. Thunder was happening, because it said, their people said, stood and heard it and said, "Oh, it's thundering." And others said, "Oh, the angels have spoken to him." See, not everybody knows how to respond when God speaks. You know, because even when I speak, people hear different things. We had a deacon board meeting, and I'm talking to our board about passing the baton. You know, and I said, "Do you know what the baton is?" One deacon says, well, that's what you pass when the race. But the other one was a prison guard. He says, that's what you raise up when the prisoners are out of line, you know? So we all have different understandings of things. So we need to be on the same page. Eternal life is knowing Jesus. It's having relationship with him, amen? And God the Father, when he speaks, sometimes it's going to sound like thunder to some. Sometimes it's going to sound like angels. And sometimes people are going to receive it and take it. But when God speaks, we don't always know how to receive it. In this day, God said, he said, I've glorified you, glorified it. I've both glorified it and will glorify it again. You know, but one thing is clear. Jesus came to give us life. Us life. Amen. To receive this life, I just have to believe that, number one, Jesus came to die on a cross for the sins of the world. Brother Rory, it's good to see you back in the house today. Good to have you here with us. He's been in a fight and in a battle, but praise God, he's here. Hallelujah. You and April. Hallelujah. You know, but Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. We sing this old song, not an old song, but a song that we sing sometimes, Jesus Paid It All. We sang that last Sunday, didn't we, Nydia? Jesus paid it all. And I love that song because to get the realization that Jesus paid it all and what he did. And that's what he came to do. He came to pay the price for us. Amen? So, you know how much I owe God? And nothing. Everything and nothing. He did it for free. He did it for that guy that's out there cursing him right now. He did it for that guy that's committing murder right now. He died for everyone just believing that when people heard the name of Jesus that they would come to him. Like that woman with the issue. When Jesus was being judged, they couldn't find any fault in him. They couldn't find anything wrong with that man. They could find no sin. The man never did anything wrong. Jesus never did. He taught the truth, amen? He healed the sick. Saw the lame walk, amen? The blind eyes were opened. You know, I remember deaf ears open. One time in China, this lady came up to me and she says, I'm deaf in my left ear. And I said, be open. And her ear popped open. And she jumped up and down and screamed and hugged my friend, and I never saw her again. It's just so miraculous. She just, wow, it just popped open, and she went through the ceiling with excitement. It was incredible. But that's what happened with Jesus. The dead were raised. He just said, listen, when he stood in front of Lazarus' tomb, I believe Jesus could have just stood there. And Lazarus would have came. But he just did this. He said, for you guys, Lazarus, come forth. And after being dead for 4 days, he got up and came out of that grave. And he said, I said it for you, but I believe Jesus, just his presence there, Lazarus couldn't have stayed there in that grave. He would have got up and run out. This is what Jesus did. He cast out demons. The guy that was throwing himself in the fire and just bound him in chains, and he would break the chains, and he'd come and he threw himself at Jesus' feet, and he said, what have thou to do with me, Son of God? Jesus said, you got to go. You cast that demons, and that guy was put into his right mind. That guy, I met a guy yesterday. He was preaching yesterday, and he was in an insane asylum. He was put in the asylum, and they were going to do a thing on the frontal lobe of his brain to whack him out even more. So that because he was just insane. And somebody came to him and visited him and got him born again. And he came into his right mind. And he said, I'm, you know, he started screaming and screaming and screaming. And they came to him because he's in lockdown. And they said, what's the problem? He said, I'm okay. I'm sane now. And they said, what makes you so sure I'm sane? He says, I'll tell you. And so they got the doctors, and he went into the psychiatrist, and he sat down with the psychiatrist, and he began to tell him, this voice came to me, and I got born again. And he says, what do you mean born again? He goes, I don't know. He says, but I'm born again. I'm no longer insane. I'm telling you today, I'm sane. He says, well, how did this happen? He says, I don't know. This voice came, and now I'm saved. And he goes, saved from what? He goes, I don't know. So the psychiatrist began to write about him. More psychosis. It's getting deeper. He's hearing voices now. He says, I got so mad, I jumped up and I beat that doctor to a bloody pulp. See, because sometimes when we get saved, we haven't gotten rid of all of our junk yet. Just because we say we're saved, we don't always act like it. I'm telling you, you know, if you want to see the salvation of people, just take them to lunch at a bad restaurant. It's funny because I've said that and people go to lunch with me and they're like, I'm not going to say anything. But Jesus, he didn't sin. He cast out them demons. Amen. He made people free. He set the people free. He did supernatural acts. This is Jesus, and he's being judged. He's being judged, and he's telling, for this purpose, I came into the world. He's standing before the judgment seat. Pontius Pilate is trying to judge him, but he can't find anything wrong. This guy is perfect. I got nothing on this guy. But Pilate, he has an idea, and I believe this was his idea on how to let Jesus go. He brings in this guy. Put up that picture, Ed. He brings in this guy. Barabbas, a criminal. Okay, he was a criminal. He brings in the worst. He was a thug. He was a killer. He was a major sinner. He was the rabble, rebel, causing trouble in Jerusalem. And so Pilate brings out Barabbas. He says, here. You guys choose. Do you want Barabbas, who is like the worst person in our prison right now? Or do you want Jesus, who I can't find anything wrong with? And they said, give us Barabbas. You see, but what you have to know is Barabbas had to be set free. Jesus had to take his place. Amen. Jesus had to go to the cross for where Barabbas was to be crucified. Jesus said, I'm going to take Barabbas's place. Listen, I'm saying Jesus said it because Jesus didn't have to do it. But he said, for this purpose, I've came into the world to do this on the cross. Even though Barabbas was so evil, Jesus said, I'm going to pay the price for Barabbas too. This is happening in the spirit. Jesus didn't have to speak the words because he didn't call down a legion of angels to save him. Jesus didn't speak a word to defend himself. He just stood there. He didn't stand there and say, yeah, but listen, I raised the dead. I healed the sick. I cast out demons. I've done all these things in your presence. You've seen what I've done. I've never sinned. I've never said anything wrong. I've never done anything bad. But this guy's a killer. You should release me instead of him. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus just stood back silently. They said, give us Barabbas. He says, what should I do with Jesus? Crucify, crucify, crucify. Jesus took the penalty for Barabbas. And Barabbas was set free. And this is a prime example of what Jesus came to do for us. He paid the price for the very worst to the not so worst so that we could be made free. That's what Jesus came to do. He did that. So, number two, Jesus came into the world as a demonstration of God's mercy and grace and unconditional love for you and me. John, was it 1 John 4:10? In this love, everybody say love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. What Jesus did, he did out of love. Amen? He loves. He didn't argue with them over the judgment that was happening. He let them do it, but out of love for Barabbas and out of love for you and me. He loves us so much. We sing that song, Your Amazing Love. And his love is amazing. It is amazing. It is amazing in that he didn't give us what we deserved. Barabbas didn't get what he deserved. But he got something he didn't deserve. Just like many of us. We didn't get, or all of us, we didn't get what we deserved. We received the love of God. Propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, this word describes Christ through his sacrificial death as appeasing the wrath of God on account of sin. So there had to be a price paid. There had to be a perfect sacrifice made once and final for all sin. And Jesus paid it all. There's no more sacrifice. Amen? There's no more sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, if you'll turn over there in your Bibles, it's not going to be on your screen. Hebrews 10, 17. It says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. No more. So how many of you remember your sins? Do you remember your sins? I remember mine, but Jesus doesn't. So when you ask God to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all that junk, and then you go back and you bring it up to him again, he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, you're wasting your breath. Because when you're forgiven, your sins is under the blood of Jesus. He remembers it no more. Amen? And he says in verse 18, Hebrews 10, 18, he says, now there is remission of these sins, forgiveness of these, and there's no longer an offering for sin. So we don't give a sin offering. Amen? That sin offering was Jesus. See, in the Old Testament, they offer up the perfect lamb. Well, Jesus was the perfect lamb. In the Old Testament, they used to have to bring money, an offering for sin that they had to pay for their sins. And we don't have to do that, amen? Because that sin offering has been paid. We're free, amen? We are free in Jesus Christ. So, by the means of the atoning death of Christ, God can be merciful to the sinner, us, because of what Jesus did. Us who believe in him and are reconciled to him, amen? The sinner Barabbas, he was a terrible person. I mean, you look at that picture. Put that picture back up there, Ed. He was the thug that was used to incite people to riot and to come against the Romans. And Jesus, the perfect one, took the place of the sinner Barabbas on the cross. Literally. Literally. And this is the simple explanation. We are like Barabbas. And Jesus took our place. So that we don't have to be in bondage. So that we can go free. Amen? Barabbas that day was released from prison without debt. He didn't owe the prison anything. They just let him go. I don't know. You don't know what effect it had on Barabbas' life. I mean, I could just imagine him going, sucker, and heading out the door. But if Barabbas could have understood what Jesus was doing for him, the freedom that he's receiving. If we could understand the freedom that we have in Jesus, that freedom from our debt of sin, we're released from it. It's no longer our debt. There's no longer a debt to be paid because Jesus paid it all by what he did on that cross. We don't have to live in bondage to sins of this world anymore. Amen? We've been made free when we come to Jesus. You decide every day who you're going to be a slave to. You get to make that decision. Are you going to be a slave to sin? Or are you going to be a slave to righteousness? You decide. Are you going to be a slave to anger? Or are you going to be a slave to peace? Are you going to be a slave to the lie? Or are you going to be a slave to the truth? You get to decide. But our sin has been paid for. The tree in the garden, the knowledge of good and evil. Jesus has just given us the knowledge of good. He's given us the knowledge of good. Our knowledge of evil was birthed out of sin. And so we need to just keep casting down that knowledge of evil and replacing it with the knowledge of good. Amen? Replacing it with the knowledge of the Word of God so that we have the knowledge of good and that the evil starts growing dimly in our eyes. We need the knowledge of good all the time in our lives. Amen? You know, Jesus' intent is to deliver us from the bondage and make us free. So the only tie that we have to our past is the memories that you retain and the amount you allow them to control you. See, you can talk about your past and what you've done and the things that the terrible things that you may have done or the not so terrible things that weren't of God. But if you can just let them go and get on and say, you know, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm in Christ now. I remember when I first came to Jesus and, you know, getting around family and they would remind me of the things I used to do. And I said, yep, that was me, but that's not me anymore. I'm not that person anymore. I was lost. I admit, Delana says, praise God. I was lost, but I got found. Like the woman with the issue of blood. I heard that name of Jesus. And I just reached out for him. And when I reached out for him, he made me free. Amen. He healed me. He gave me a new strength. He gave me a new joy. He gave me a new peace. So we just got to reach out for him. And Jesus' intent is to make us all free. But you decide. 1 Timothy 1:15, it says this. It says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Now, Paul wrote that, and Paul wrote most of the New Testament, and he still declared himself as the chief of all sinners. This is the guy that persecuted people. He didn't forget where he came from. And I'm not telling us to forget where we came from. Because I believe that where you've come from, God can use to his glory today. Amen? I mean, whatever you've been through, whatever you've come through, if God's delivered you, he can help you to get delivered. But listen, you don't have to go through something to help people get delivered. Amen? Because Jesus in all ways was tempted just like you and me, but he never gave into it, but yet he showed us the way to get out of it. Amen? And we've just got to learn to trust Jesus in it all. So you may be the chief of sinners. You may have been. You may have done some God-awful things, which I think we all could say we've done some terrible things. But when we come to Jesus and we're forgiven, that's no longer a memory anymore. Your life may have been a list like this, but now it's like this. It's like Jesus says, what are you talking about, Marvin? There's nothing here. But then we try to remind God, but God, remember when I did this and I did that and did this? And God says, no. Because God wants you to start moving forward. He wants you to get off your spot and to move forward. As hard as it was for Paul to let those things go, he did. To help others get where God wanted them to be. Like I said, we're not going to know the effect of that day Barabbas was released until we get to heaven. Then we'll find out. But Barabbas was imprisoned. And Jesus had him released and paid the debt. And he's taken your place too. And you may be here today and you may be imprisoned to some things of your past. You may be imprisoned to some specific thoughts that keep generating in your mind. You may be imprisoned by habits that you know that God doesn't want you to have. You may be imprisoned by just the things that you've committed that you just had a hard time getting over, that you did those things. Today's your day. Like Barabbas, you can be set free. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for this word, God. We thank you that Jesus paid it all. We thank you, Jesus, for the cause, that this purpose that you came into the world. We thank you for the love that you have for us, Father God. Hallelujah, that you loved us and you sent your Son to pay the penalty for our sins, to pay the price so that we don't have to. That, Lord, that we can, as Barabbas was that day, he was made free that day. That, Lord, that you can take us out of those prisons today. The prison of our past, the prison of our thought life, the prison of our habits, the prison of our relationships, God. You can make us free today because you paid for it. And Lord, you declare that we just have to receive. Lord, even in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out all fear, because fear leads to torment. That, Lord, that when we receive your perfect love, that, Lord, that you cast out that torment, the fear. Lord, and I pray that the fear of our past, the fear of our habits, the fear of our thought life, God, would be washed over today by the love of God. Lord, that you just come right now and you minister to every heart in this place. Holy Spirit, just speak to us. Glorify you, God. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, there's something I need to just deal with today. Whether it's just an issue of your past, an issue of a habit, issue of a relationship, issue of your thought life. See, I just need to surrender this today to the Lord. If that's you today, just raise your hand because I'm going to agree with you today. Amen. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't we stand? Praise you, Father. Oh, help us. Father, you've seen all these hands that went up today, God. And we pray today, God, that, Lord, where you paid the price for it all, that you'd intervene in that area of their life today. Lord, I pray that you'd intervene in that area of their past. And, Lord, that you just begin to show them the eraser today in the name of Jesus. Just erase those marks, God. That there be no marks in heaven against you in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. I just see. Oh, yeah, that eraser, just wiping it clean. The slate is being cleaned off today in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray today that, Lord, for even in the mind, God, where the battle in that mind, in the mind, Lord, in the mind. Oh, there's been a turmoil, God, and the enemy's been speaking lies. Lord, we release truth in the Spirit over those lies today in the name of Jesus. That Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. We speak that truth into every mind right now in Jesus' name. That it break off those lies in Jesus' name. And Lord, where the enemy has come to bring fear, I pray right now, just your perfect love, just come down. Let your love just come down right now. Father, habits, habits, habits. In the name of Jesus, God. Anybody here, just raise your hand if you got a habit you need broken right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, you see these hands right now. Lord, I pray right now that you break that, God. You break it today in the name of Jesus, the way you did it for me, God. The way you broke those habits off of me, God. I pray right now, God, you're no respecter of persons. Break it off this family right now, these habits. Lord, that they come into freedom today in Jesus' name. When the Lord set me free from smoking when I was a young man, the next day I went to go grab a cigarette. And he gave me a decision to make right then. He said, Ron, you don't have to do this anymore. You've been set free. And I received my freedom and I never smoked again. And I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day at that time. He set me totally free. So I'm here today to tell you that our God is an awesome God. And today, if you'll receive it, yeah, he'll make you free. Jesus, he'll make you free right now. Everybody say, I receive.
I receive.
I receive it, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Lift it up, Lydia. Come on. Just worship right now. Just worship the Lord right now. Yes.
Till I spoke a word, you were singing over me.
He's singing over you today.
And you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Deserve it, still you gave yourself away, and all the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. So good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. And you have been so, so good to me.
Sing all the over.
Take another step today. The book of James, it says this. It says, verse 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Now, many hands went up today saying that you have a habit that you want to be dealt with. So, I'm going to challenge you today to tell somebody what that habit is to be made free. Now, if you don't trust a lot of people, I understand, you can come tell me and it's going to die with me. I'm not going to tell anybody what your issue is. Or grab Pastor Rob or Terry. Delonda knows in the foyer right now. Grab Jeanette. dies with us. But when you confess that, what you're doing, see, because this is what the devil does. He tells you, don't tell anybody. Because they're not going to like you. They're not going to receive you. They're going to judge you. We're not here to judge. We're here for freedom. And when you confess that, I've prayed for you, but when you confess it, let it be done. Bring it into the light. See, the darkness hates the light because it might be found out. But when you confess it, you're bringing it into the light, not for judgment, but for freedom. So I'm going to say a prayer over the congregation as you go. But get somebody, confess that thing, and let it go today in the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you today and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you for the miracles that are happening right now in our lives, God, that we are being made free in Jesus' name. That, Lord, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. That, Lord, that as we confess our faults one to another, that healing is flowing in this place. That, Lord, that you're healing 10-year-old diseases right now in Jesus' name. You're healing diabetes, God. You're healing pain in the name of Jesus. You're healing high blood pressure right now, God. You're bringing hips back into alignment right now. You're healing those hips and restoring, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. You're healing the brokenhearted today in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Father, I pray a covering of that healing over every person here today as we go. I pray that every person goes in the healing power of God. I pray that the blessing of the Lord be upon every person here today, God. And I pray your protection over every person, that you protect them. Lord, you protect what belongs to them, Father. And Lord, that your hand be upon them. Lord, we give you praise and thanksgiving, and we thank you for this time. Lord, being in your presence, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today.